Welcome to the Space Show, Adrian.
Thanks very much for having me, Andrew.
What's the Mars Science Laboratory?
The Mars Science Laboratory is the next NASA landed mission to Mars. It's a large rover that's going to travel to the Red Planet. And next year it will be launched in November and December in 2011, and then it'll arrive in August 2012. It's equipped with a range of instruments that will be deployed during its surface stay. It's broadly designed to explore the geology and the habitability of the site that it lands at.
And what's your role in the mission?
Well, I'm an interested scientist who's interested in trying to determine the landing site for where the Mars Science Laboratory will be deployed on the surface of Mars. So I work, my day job is working on the CRISM instrument, which is a compact reconnaissance imaging spectrometer for Mars, and that's on Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. So I use that data to examine the surface of Mars, trying to determine what the geology is of the rocks that are on the surface of Mars, and trying to find places where MSL might actually go.
Now, many of our listeners won't know what a spectrometer is.
Yes. So a spectrometer splits light into its different components. So you might imagine the prism on the Pink Floyd album, if your listeners are familiar with that.
It's the dark side of the moon.
The dark side of the moon, yes. So a prism can split light into its components, like Isaac Newton did. And we can examine each of those components, for example, the red, green, and blue, and visible light. In the infrared, we can do the same thing, because light in the infrared is just light of a different frequency. So we can split up the components of the light into different channels or bands, we call them, and look at areas where light has been absorbed by material that we're examining. And if it's been absorbed in certain locations and certain frequencies, then we can use that as a diagnostic tool to work out what minerals we're actually looking at on the surface. This is reflected spectroscopy, and that's what we use on the CRISM instrument.
Any particular minerals you're looking for?
Yes, yeah, we're looking for clay minerals with CRISM in particular. That's what it really was designed to do. It can also find out other minerals on the surface. For example, carbonate minerals can be found on the surface. But clays in particular have, where we see clays on the surface of Mars, we know that there has been interaction of water with rocks, turning them into mud, and then these get fossilized as clay minerals. And that's that then gives us a tool to look at the history of water in the past on Mars by looking at where clays actually occur on the surface of Mars.
Why is the chase on to find water or evidence of past water on Mars?
So we want to try and find out where water has been in the past in Mars, because I think we're motivated mostly by the potential for life to have existed in the past in Mars. So we're looking at the potential habitability which we link to water. Without water, we can't imagine a form of life without water from our own example. Certainly everything on the Earth requires water, as all life requires water on the Earth. So by that analogy, we are looking for water on Mars. There could be some sort of life, some sort of biological activity that might not require water, but we think it's such a significant component of life on Earth that it probably was a significant component of life on Mars. Water acts as a carrier of energy and chemical potential. It acts as a carer. It acts as a material that makes up our cells, makes up 70% of our body. And so without water, we don't think life probably would have got started on Mars. So we want to look at the places where water has been in the past on Mars, has acted on the rocks to create clays, and that's an area where we might find evidence, other evidence for life on the surface of Mars. right now and also in the past.
Do you think that it's likely that life did exist in the past?
That's a very difficult question to ask at the moment. We have reason to believe that Mars was probably more Earth-like in its past. We have large channels that we see that were probably carved by water. And so these are all in the most ancient parts of Mars, you know, that are around 3 billion to 3.5 billion years old. So at that time, there was probably a thicker atmosphere that allowed liquid water to be on the surface of Mars. And that probably would have allowed little oases for life to get started. To answer that question for certain, I think will eventually require humans to go to Mars and to examine all of the red planet. At the moment, we're sending rovers to the red planet and examining little spots on the surface. Little postage stamps of our knowledge have been put around the surface. But we haven't explored most of the surface of Mars. We haven't explored the subsurface of Mars, which is a very important place to look for microbes that might have tunneled beneath the surface and got protection from the harsh UV environment, harsh UV radiation on Mars, because Mars doesn't have an ozone layer.
So it is feasible that life could still exist on Mars if it did get going there.
Well, if life did get going on Mars, then I think I would be more surprised if life actually died out on Mars. Life here on Earth is remarkably resilient. There's no way we could get rid of the life that has inhabited Earth. Even if we were to do the unthinkable and destroy ourselves, we couldn't destroy the microbial colonies that are now kilometres below the surface of the Earth. And so if Mars got started with life, I suspect that life would have found a way to survive to the current day, perhaps in the subsurface of Mars, where we haven't examined yet, as I mentioned before. Some of the strongest indications of that too have been through the finding of methane in the atmosphere, but that's still a questionable finding, but it's an indication that microbial activity might continue to the current day. Certainly we have to, that's a question that's on the uppermost minds of all Mars scientists.
How far along are you on the landing site selection for the Mars Science Laboratory?
Well, we're almost finished. The landing site selection process will conclude with a final landing site workshop in September in Pasadena, in Southern California. That will be the final chance for scientists to discuss the landing site before the final two are chosen and sent to NASA to be downscoped to just one just prior to the launch of MSL next year.
Well, Adrian, you're an Australian. How did you get into this game?
Well, I entered the Navy as a kid and spent some time in the Navy before. I read a book called The Case for Mars by Robert Zubrin, and it's a book I could recommend to anybody. It's a fantastic readable account of why Mars is part of human future history, and why we should eventually one day colonize the red planet. So I decided that was what I wanted to spend the rest of my career working on. So on my exit from the Navy, I started a PhD program at Macquarie University at the Australian Centre for Astrobiology, which has now moved to the University of New South Wales. And when I graduated from there, I applied to NASA Ames Research Centre for a postdoc. They selected my application, and I spent 2 years in Northern California at NASA Ames. So after that, I applied to NASA for a proposal that got selected, and so I'm now in the employ of the SETI Institute, working on contract for a NASA contract. At the SETI Institute, I actually run a weekly colloquium series, a talk series, that your listeners might be interested in going to. We film the talks and then put them up on YouTube later. So you can get to that on youtube.com/SETI Institute, all one word. Or you can also Google SETI Institute and videos or talk series or something like that.
Hmm. Where do you see yourself going from here?
I've also been captured by the Martian polar regions. I examine them using the CRISM instrument. My next research work will involve going to the North Pole of Mars and using the CRISM instrument that I spoke about, the spectrometer, to examine CO2 ice and water ice and look at how that seasonally changes in winter and disappears in spring and summer in the north, which is a process that's unique to Mars. And it was responsible for the destruction of the Phoenix lander, for example, when about a meter of CO2 ice was deposited on it over winter, and unfortunately it didn't live through.
Not that it was expected to, of course.
No, that's right. That was a planned event, but they only had 90 days to carry out their mission. So that was well known that was going to happen.
Well, thank you for joining us on the Space Show, Adrian.
Thanks very much, Andrew.